Our scripture for today comes from Psalm 125, and it's about, this sermon this morning will be about fully trusting God. So listen to these words of Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. For then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But to those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. I don't know about you, but things happen in your life that you wished happened differently. Amen? Things happen around you that don't go the way you want it to go, right? You wish it would do differently. Well, this psalm talks a lot about fully trusting God. And what does that mean to fully trust God? And what happens when we do fully trust God? Well, the first thing that I think you'll acknowledge with me is that many people believe they can control situations around them. Right? You probably know some people that they're just positive. All they got to do is get their hand into it and they can control it. And everything will come out the way they want it to. You know anybody like that? Have you ever tried to do that? If I could just get involved in that situation, I'll fix it. It'll never happen again that way. I think if we were honest with ourselves, there are many times that we try to control things. And we try to force things to the outcome that we would like to have. And we fully believe that we can do that. All we got to do is this on time and this on time and make sure this gets checked off and make sure this gets done right. And all I've got to do is talk to that person and they'll see the right way and do the right things. Never done that, have you? You've never looked into a situation and just known that, yep, all I got to do is be there and get it straight and everything will be right. And there won't be any problems with that anymore. And people believe that this will bring them peace and stability. If I can control the situation, I'll have peace. I'll have stability. Things will be the way I would like to have it. I just want you to think about one situation. Eric's not here today, so we'll make sure we talk about Eric today. Eric wants rain almost every day of the week. Do we all want rain every day of the week? Suppose Eric was the one that was in charge of when we got rain. Suppose you thought you could control that. I know, that's a silly thing. You can't control when rain happens, can you? But you really think you can control... Anybody ever raised a teenager? Brother Jerry up here said he tried to. And you just know that if you can talk to a teenager in the right way and say the right things, that everything will be in control and will bring you peace and stability. Amen? Corey said, nailing jello to a tree. That's what you're doing then. But as parents, don't we try to control kids sometimes? to make sure that they do the right thing, say the right thing, participate in the right place. Is that not trying to control a situation? And you're convinced that if it's controlled the way that you want it, that will bring peace and stability. Right? Or a situation at work. Maybe you've had a workmate that never followed directions quite right. And you're just convinced if you can explain to them how to follow the directions exactly right, that will bring peace and stability. Right? Issue solved. Well, if we could do that, why is there so much interpersonal conflict in our world? Sometimes it deals with because what you think is peace and stability is not what somebody else thinks is peace and stability. What you want done may not be what the other person wants done and feels that that's what would bring them peace, correct? Well, this psalmist tells us that it's only those who trust in the Lord will find peace and stability. It's only those of us who trust in the Lord that will find peace and stability. Now, does that mean that there's not disruptions around us? No. I can find peace in the midst of a storm. I can find peace when everybody else is in chaos. I can find some stability when things aren't going right. Correct? When I trust in the Lord, I can find so much more. I can find that place where the peace comes from, where the stability comes from. Maybe we need to talk about what the biblical idea of peace is. Because for many of us, the idea of peace is absence of conflict. That's peace, right? Absence of any disruptions. Absence of anything going wrong. That's peace, correct? I can say in the Middle East right now, peace does not exist. I can say that in Ukraine and in Russia, peace does not exist. Because there is conflict. And there is violent conflict going on. So peace doesn't exist there. But I'm willing to tell you that I could live in those situations and still find peace. Because the biblical idea of peace is different than that. The biblical idea of peace, the word is shalom. The biblical idea of peace is finding a wholeness, a completeness, a totalness of what God wants for you. So even in the presence of conflict, I can find peace. Because this word in the Hebrew Bible does not mean just absence of conflict. That would be great. But peace can mean and means much deeper that I am finding a wholeness and a totalness for what God wants for me. Can I not find that peace anywhere? What is it that God wants you to live into? Who is it that God wants you to be? What is it that God's calling you to? And that's one of the reasons you hear me talk an awful lot about silence. Sitting down and being still and listening can help you find that peace. You've got to be able to sit still and stop moving and stop doing things. Yes, your pastor just told you, stop doing things. I can say it another way. Do you know what we're called? I know y'all are looking at me and you're saying stupid. What are we called? We're called human beings. Did you ever notice we're not called human doings? How can you be if you're always about doing? How can you find the peace that God has for you if you're always so busy rushing from place to place to place? How can you put your trust in God if you're trusting in what you can get done? In how you can fix things? In how you can manage things? How will you ever put your trust in God? Scriptures talk about it, and I know you would agree with me that Scripture says that God speaks in a small, still voice. If you're so busy that you're rushing from place to place, how will you ever hear that small, still voice? How? You see, we've got to trust in God. And trusting is setting aside our will and living God's will. That's what it means to trust God. To set aside my will. What are some of the things that I had hoped to be in my life? Well, I had hoped, first off, to be a wildlife manager. And had an opportunity to go that route. The money was lacking, and that's what made it difficult at the time. But I still probably could have made it if I did it. To manage, and one of the things that I was called that I was going to, I got an invitation to be part of, was managing a wild turkey population. I believe it was in the woods of Mississippi. Running around in the woods all day chasing turkeys. I can't think of anything better to do. I know a bunch of you can think of something better to do, I'm sure. One of the things that I wanted to do in my life at one time was be a race car driver. Had the car already. Was going to soup it up, and I was going at it. And it was explained to me that, please let me know after you get home that that's what you've done. Which I kind of took that was not a favorable opinion of me wanting to be a race car driver. At least my youngest son is. And he's now trying to draft me to be part of racing with him. And I would love to do it, except they race on Saturdays and Sundays, and I don't think you're going to let me have every Sunday off to race. No, I knew that. What is it that I hoped to be? Maybe the bigger question is, what is it that God has hoped for me to be? What is it that God has called me to participate in and to be part of? How might I set aside my will to live God's will? How might I do that? And here's what I'm going to tell you. Sometimes God gives you an opportunity to do some of the things that you wanted to do anyway. I got to drive a race car at Richmond International Speedway for 8 laps. Absolutely incredible. You know, I don't know how incredible it was. You know, the doors don't open in those cars. You have to climb out the window. It took me 3 attempts to get the helmet out of the window when I was done. It was the first time was donk. Oh, man. Donk. And once I got out of the car, I was so charged and so excited that I couldn't even talk. I know some of you can't believe that. I didn't have a word to say because that was my biggest dream in my life, to be able to do that. And then they gave us our packages as we left. And I'm getting ready to open my package to find out what kind of speeds I was driving. And I was really scared that I was going to pull it, because there was about 20, 30 people from the church that had come to watch me. And I was, Lord, if I pull this out of here and it says 70 miles an hour, I'll let you ask me later. But I pulled it out of there and everybody went, oh, and backed up. Sometimes God will let us do the things that we really wanted to do. That was my biggest dream ever, to do something like that. Well, I will tell you this. I was 10 miles an hour off of qualifying speed for Richmond International, which I felt very happy about. What is it that God's calling you to do? What is it about your life that you just need to set aside to live God's will, so that you can fully experience the peace that God wants to bring you, the wholeness, the completeness of everything that God wants to bring you? That's peace. What is it that God wants more than anything else for you? Not what you want. What is it God wants for you? And I'm going to tell you this. It's probably something scary. And it's probably something that you're not so sure you can do. You know why I know that? Because we serve an impossible God. A God that does the impossible. What's the thing that's in your heart that maybe at some point in time you said, oh, that's impossible, I can't do that? But it's still there. And it's still been nudging at you. What is it? What is that thing that God says, I want you to live into that so that you can know peace? You know, living this way brings us the wholeness God has planned for us. Trusting God brings us the wholeness that God has planned for us. What does Jesus say when some folks say they want to follow Him? He tells them there's three decisions you need to make. Number one, you need to deny yourself. Number two, you need to pick up your cross and carry it. A cross is not something that's put on you to bear. It's something you decide to pick up and carry. And the third thing is to follow Him. Which, you know what that means? That means Jesus is not going to stay in one place. Those are the three things we need to do if we're going to trust God. Deny yourself, pick up your cross and carry it, and follow Him. There have been many times in my ministry that I've walked in places I did not want to, that I had no desire to. And in many of those places, God has brought me peace. And God has shown me a wholeness that I didn't see before. But I had to move into them. I had to make a decision. I had to decide that I wasn't going to control things around me. I had to decide I wasn't even going to try. It's about me walking the way God wants me to walk so that it benefits other people. That's what it's about. How are you doing that? Are you fully trusting God? Are you fully living into what God has for you? Are you able to hear what God has for you? It's going to take some time just sitting down and being quiet, maybe outside, maybe inside. Some time just waiting. How are you about waiting? You love to go to the doctor's office or the dentist's office and wait, don't you? You love to go to Walmart and find out they got one checker for 30 people, don't you? You love that so you can stand in line and wait. Until you can quiet yourself down, you might not hear what God has for you. You might not be able to fully say, this is the way I'm stepping to trust God. Remember, you studied about prayer. Prayer is a two-way street. You say some things to God, and God says some things to you. How many times do you rush in to tell God what needs to be fixed today, by your opinion, and rush out to try to go help fix it without listening to what God had to say about it? I'll admit, I do that. I've been trained all my life to react to a situation. I'm asking you to slow down some, to listen what God's saying, and to fully trust God by saying, you know what? I'm going to set aside my will, Lord, and I'm going to live your will so that I can know wholeness, so I can know completeness, so that even in the midst of the biggest storms of life, I can have peace. How can you more fully live God's will to experience peace? Every one of us has a choice that we need to make. Every one of us. My prayer is you don't leave here today without making that choice, or at least knowing what that choice is so you can make it. Every one of us has something we can let go of to better live God's will. Every one of us. How will you trust God more? Let us pray. Lord, we come to you acknowledging that too many times we try to control things around us. Whether it's just controlling ourselves or whether it's other people and situations. Lord, help us to slow down and to hear what you got to say. And to realize that when we live into your will, you provide an incredible amount of power to live that way. And then you bless us, blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And those blessings flow through us to bless other people in this world. Please, Lord, help us to listen so that we might trust, and then in turn that we might know peace, that completeness that you desire for each one of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.